Hello, Pastor Mark Dusling here. I hope this finds you healthy and praying that you are adjusting with God's help to our new temporary normal that COVID has thrust upon us. While we obviously can't meet together, we will, barring any sickness, try to bring to you each Sunday a new sermon that we will put online on the website for you to listen to, until we're allowed to meet again together. Now, if you don't know, I, Pastor Mark, and Pastor Terrell wrote a joint letter to you, the congregation, which has been posted also on the website under the title, A Note from the Pastors. And we would encourage you to read that note. It is part of just an initial response from us as pastors about the COVID situation to encourage you. Now, our current sermon series was on church leadership, looking at elders and deacons, and we were beginning to look at elders as shepherds and what as shepherds do they do. But we're going to temporarily suspend that series until Easter. And at Easter, we'll also have an Easter message. But until then, I will address living in a COVID-19 world. Earlier this week, with such rapid and daily changes occurring, it struck me how we now have to live one day at a time. Therefore, I entitle today's sermon, Living in a COVID-19 World, One Day at a Time. And the scripture passage, which we will examine today, is from a letter of James, the New Testament letter of James, chapter 4, verses 13 to 17. James writes, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin." This is the word of the Lord to us. Lord Jesus, as we adjust and seek to live in a whole new world that is different than any of us have ever experienced, we ask that you would take your scripture and that you would speak to us and give us strength, knowledge, wisdom, truth to live by in this new world that we live in and are experiencing. In Jesus' name, amen. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. That is a quotation from the Old Testament book of Proverbs, chapter 27, verse 1. This proverb's warning about being too sure of what we will do or accomplish tomorrow forcefully confronts us in a COVID-19 world. In February, few of us thought that we'd be living as we are now. In February, most of us were looking forward to the traditional March break, March 15 to 21st, many with travel plans, etc., etc. Yet between March 12th and 23rd, a mere 11 days, this is only some of what happened in Ontario. March 12th, the government of Ontario announced publicly funded schools would be closed for an additional 2 weeks after March break and until April 5th. March 17th, the government of Ontario declared a state of emergency requiring all libraries, private schools, childcare centers, concert venues, movie theaters, bars, and restaurants that do not offer takeout and delivery services to close immediately. And this also included the prohibition of all public gatherings of over 50 people, including our church services. Then March 18th, entry into Canada is restricted primarily to Canadian citizens, their immediate families, and permanent residents. March 20th, Canada and the U.S. agree to restrict all non-essential travel across their border. March 22nd, the first confirmed community-transmitted COVID-19 case in Mount Forest is announced. And March 23rd, Ontario declared all non-essential businesses must close for 14 days, beginning March 24th. Until the 1st of March, we were a society that just rocketed along 24/7 with no limits on our plans or our movement. The norm was for individuals, families, and organizations to have schedules planned weeks or months in advance. As a result of COVID-19, our work, acquiring of food, mobility, public worship, education, social habits, entertainment, etc., has been severely disrupted, altered, and if not outright prohibited. This evolving situation of COVID-19 has forced us to start to take one day at a time. This massive change has also brought many fears and anxieties. Will I get COVID? Mild, severe, or life-ending case of it? Will I survive financially? Will there be enough food? These and other questions and fears and anxieties raise their specter in our mind. Temporarily, we now live in a COVID-19 world, and we don't know for how long. We now have to live one day at a time with constantly uncertain and changing tomorrow, along with the fears they bring. The good news, God speaks to our situation. In one such place in the Bible, God speaks to our situation is, as I read from James chapter 4, verses 13 to 17. James 14, verse 13 said, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit." In this paragraph, James begins by addressing cocky merchants or businessmen of the church. The merchants have announced their plans where that day or tomorrow they will go to another town, and they're going to go there for a year, and they're going to make a profit in trade. What's wrong with announcing that? It's important to note that James is not condemning neither the making of plans, doing business, or making a profit. James is condemning the proud attitude of independence, self-assurance, and control without thought of God as expressed through the pursuit of their plans. Alec Moitier puts it this way, and I quote, "James is not trying to banish planning from our lives, but only that sort of self-sufficient, self-important planning that keeps God for Sunday, but looks on Monday to Saturday as mine." End of quote. With identification that it is the attitude behind the planning and the activities, not the specific activities themselves, in this case, business ventures, then the passage speaks to all of us. This passage doesn't just speak and is not just applied to merchants. Though we are not all merchants, we all plan to go here and there. Did you and I not plan to go here and there in the middle of March? Didn't we not plan to accomplish and achieve and gain things each day? Have we not planned, and did we not plan to achieve things in the last few weeks that we now cannot do? See, the text is really speaking about an attitude of how we plan and how we go about our activities. The merchants are just an example. Let's examine the problematic attitude that can be behind our planning and our activities more clearly as illustrated by the merchants. The bad attitude can be dissected into the following three elements. First of all, the element that we think time and life is under my will. Like the merchants, we say, we will go here and accomplish this and that. You see, we often presume, we take for granted that tomorrow is mine, and I can do with it as I want, as I please. And I will continue to exist tomorrow just like I was existing yesterday because I will it. The second element of this bad attitude is we think living and planning is just a matter of my choice. When it is said, today or tomorrow I will go and I will do, we are presuming that we're masters of our life. And we can control or order our lives simply by our own decision, by our own choice. I decided this, therefore it will happen. I've planned this. Nothing can interrupt my plan. And then the third element of the bad attitude here is we think it's simply a matter of our ability. The merchants declare they will make a profit. They said, we're going there for a year and we'll make a profit. This betrays a self-confidence in their ability. If I want it, I will get it. If I want it, I will succeed. I can do all things. Planning and living with this attitude that asserts that I am capable on my own to determine my life, future, and achievements by merely my will, my choice, my ability is arrogant and foolish. Is not COVID teaching us this, not just as individuals, but as entire nations, as it lays waste to our planning and the future that we thought and the activities we thought we would be doing? You know, COVID has put up a big block before us and showed us that, you know, you just can't determine tomorrow as you will. James continues in this text, making it clear why we should not devise and execute our plans with such misplaced self-confidence in ourselves. In verse 14 of chapter 4, he says, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. This verse states two things that exposes the illusion that human planning and living is merely a matter of the human will, a matter of the human choice and ability, that it's just up to us. We want and we will get. No. The two things, the first thing that exposes this illusion, as he says, is we are ignorant. We are unable to know what will actually occur tomorrow. The irony is that the merchants are planning for a year in advance, but they don't know what events will actually occur tomorrow, or any day that may make all their carefully business plans that they have laid useless. COVID-19 brings this home to us all. All of us had other plans than to be laid off, have personal holidays, school, public worship canceled, to be isolated indoors for 14 days, get sick or die. These were not our plans. We had other plans. But COVID-19 arrives and boom, all our plans are shattered because we didn't know that COVID would happen tomorrow and has come to stick around for a while. Therefore, it has shattered our lifestyles. It has upended our lives and severely altered them. Yes, it is right and it is wise to plan, but we do not have the power either to know, dictate, or guarantee the course of events that will occur tomorrow at will. We don't have that kind of knowledge. We don't have that kind of control. Due to our lack of knowledge and ability to control events, as a consequence, there is always an uncertainty to all human planning. But we often in pride forget this. The reality then that we are ignorant and unable to know what actually will happen tomorrow requires humility from us. The second thing that James mentions in verse 14 that exposes the illusion that we are solely the ones responsible for planning and of our lives and our activities is that human life is frail and brief. It is not flattering to be told our life, our existence, is comparable to a mist or vapor. The word atmos, translated here in English as mist, or in some of your translations, vapor, describing the human life, also in Acts chapter 2, verse 19, describes smoke. So it's a vaporous smoke. The point of comparison between a human life and a vapor is the impermanence and the insubstantial quality of human life. A mist, a vapor, smoke cannot be grabbed. It exists 1 minute and is gone the next. When you blow out a candle, there's that little puff, that little vapor of smoke that lasts 20 seconds and dissipates into nothingness. That sums up the picture of a human life. A mist, vaporized by the morning sun, a wisp of smoke blown into oblivion by a breeze. The inability to know for certain or determine the events of tomorrow, and that human life is frail and momentary together, exposes the illusion of any ability and choice on our part to will with certainty the chosen outcome of our plans. But the bursting of this illusion that time and life is determined by human will, choice, and ability doesn't always lead to a correct or proper adjustment in how one must make plans for our life. Some, seeing the shortness of life and the vaporous quality to our lives, they simply then choose the lifestyle of hedonism. Hedonism is the seeking of pleasure of all sorts. So they just simply embrace, they go, look, our lives are short, it's a vapor, we're here today, gone tomorrow. So their motto is, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Others fall into a different trap, understanding that life is vaporous and we cannot control tomorrow. They fall into fear, despair, and inactivity. If human life is transient, a wispy vapor, they falsely conclude there's no objective meaning to our life. There's no purpose or value to my life, and they drown in sorrow and depression. Yet the truth about the limits and frailty of the human condition should not lead us to despair or to hedonism or frenetic other attempts to create our own meaning. Rather, this feeble human condition, as described in James chapter 4, verse 14, should lead us, as C.L. Mitton notes, to be the reason why men and women should be humble before God. The humble if. By way of contrast to humanity being vaporous mists, God is often described in Scripture as a rock. A rock is hard. A rock is permanent, solid, physical, lasting. The psalmist in Psalm 18, verse 2, writes, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield, and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." Wow. Compared to a vaporous human, God's a rock, stronghold, shield, fortress. All these are images of permanency and strength. Thus, James in chapter 4, verse 15, gives the correct attitude we must have as we face tomorrow and make our plans for today and tomorrow. He says in verse 15, knowing that, you know, what he said in verse 14, that we're a vaporous mist and we don't know what tomorrow will bring, he says this in verse 15, instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, We will live and do this or that. Earlier, I said the problem was not that we make plans. The problem is not that we do business or we even make a profit. The problem is we try to do these and other things apart from or without thought of God. We simply think that tomorrow and our lives and our plans are simply dependent upon ourselves. And we leave God completely out of the picture. Verse 15 asserts two things. First, if the Lord wills, we will live. Think about that. If the Lord wills, we will live. You and I will keep breathing, and we will finish today alive, and we will get up tomorrow only if God decides so. If he does not decide so, we will die. Referencing God, the book of Job, chapter 12, verse 10 says, "In his hand is the life of every living thing and the breath of all mankind." In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 7, death is defined as a separation of our spirit from our physical body, which the body returns to dust, but the person, the spirit, returns to God. We return to God who made us. And what God made and gave, he can collect at any time. Alec Moitier states it with no holds barred, and I quote, "We receive another day, neither by natural necessity, nor by mechanical law, nor by right, nor by courtesy of nature, but only by the covenanted mercies of God." End of quote. You see, because we have continued to exist, we just take it for granted that it's our right to get up tomorrow, or it's natural law that we'll get up tomorrow. It's not. We exist because God holds our breath in his hands, and he continues to protect that breath and allows us to breathe for today and for tomorrow. So if the Lord wills, we will live. The second thought that is asserted here that demands that we change our attitude, in verse 15, James says, "If the Lord wills, we will do this or that." Not only is the continuance of our life into tomorrow dependent upon God's choice, but our plans and activities also are subject to God's allowance. The Apostle Paul at times verbalized this attitude of dependency and sovereignty of God over his plans. For example, when Paul made a temporary stopover in Ephesus, he was asked to stay longer. His reply, Acts 18:21b, "I will return to you if God wills," and he set sail from Ephesus. Now, James is not giving us a mandate by which whenever we state our plans to someone, we are to verbally say, "If the Lord wills, I will go or do." No, mere ritualistic use of this statement is empty and futile. James wants us to apply the principle of dependency upon God and acknowledgement of his sovereignty over our lives to the process of our planning and our living. This means first, each day as we plan, we prayerfully include and are aware of God, submitting our plans to him, content to allow him to change, stop, or permit our plans to proceed as he wills. Second, it means that what we plan for tomorrow must be in accordance to what God has explicitly revealed in Scripture as his will for us. Wrapping up his paragraph, James writes in verses 16 and 17, "As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin." We seldom recognize the seriousness of our sin. Consider being thankless or ungrateful. When people don't show you gratitude, how do you interpret that? Probably at most you interpret it as being rude. They're not showing good social manners. But would you call their being thankless towards you a sin? The majority of people would say no. Ingratitude is not a sin. In fact, much thanklessness can be attributed to a claim of entitlement. I don't have to say thank you. I deserve, or I'm owed what I have received. But God says in Romans chapter 1, verses 18 to 21, that arrogant thanklessness towards him is one human attitude that brings his wrath. It is a grievous sin. It brings his wrath. That's thanklessness or ingratitude. But James is not addressing non-Christians. He's addressing Christian merchants, and thus the text also is addressing us as Christians, all of us who make plans. The problem is we live in a world that can slowly mold us through the passage of time and the passage of routine so that we too become blinded in pride and boast in our planning and achievements, assuming falsely, as we have done in the weeks past, as we have done in the days past, so shall it continue into the future. We are masters of our time, we are masters of our days, we are masters of our years. But these verses are saying to us, we should know better as Christians. So for us to not in conversation consult God submissively and dependently about our life and plans is to commit a sin of omission, to not do the good we ought to do. And that is evil. May we repent of this. Back to COVID-19. COVID-19 has powerfully upended not just our individual lives and plans, but the course and plans of nations. I'm actually waiting to see in a year's time how many governments survive or are radically changed. COVID has reduced us to taking one day at a time. Regarding how long COVID could affect life in the U.S., Dr. Anthony Fauci, director of the U.S. National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, said, "You don't make the timeline. The virus makes the timeline." COVID has reduced us to taking one day at a time, for in this COVID world, we don't know what tomorrow brings. COVID-19 is a terrible virus, causing tremendous upheaval and death. Yet there is at least one good thing coming out of it: the humbling and stripping of us of the damning illusion we have lived under so long. The illusion that we are masters of our own fate, determining our own life and future by our own will, choice, and ability. COVID shows each human is a vaporous mist. This is a good thing. But here's the critical part. How will each of us respond, being made aware of reality, of our true condition, that we do not and cannot control what tomorrow brings, that we, despite our best laid plans and preparations, for us tomorrow may never come, our breath may be extinguished? How do we respond to knowing that our true condition is that we are but a whiff of smoke? As quoted earlier by Mitten, seeing our true condition of feebleness, Our response should be to humble ourselves before God, who holds our lives and tomorrow in his hand. As James instructs, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. That should be our attitude. That should be the foundation of our planning. My friends, if we want to move from fear to peace, from chaos to order, as COVID-19 upends everything, then we must acknowledge that our life and what we do is ultimately in God's hands. We must return to taking one day at a time in humble dependence upon God, submitting our life and plans to God each day, then knowing God is the sovereign Lord, even over COVID-19, and that he cares for us, we can have confidence he will direct, equip, and walk with us through whatever comes tomorrow, through whatever he allows in his providence to happen tomorrow, even if it ruins our plans. We can be confident he knows what he's doing and he is able to provide and care for us. And he will walk through us, walk with us through everything. To conclude, remember how Jesus taught the disciples to pray? Part of that prayer in Matthew chapter 6, verse 11 was this: give us this day our daily bread. We Westerners who have had both a steady job and refrigeration are not accustomed to asking God for today or tomorrow's bread. In fact, we might not even ask God for any bread in our own self-confident, independent attitude. We have to realize that the first century context when Jesus gave this instruction, most people were day laborers, and they were paid each day at the end of the day their earnings. But their pay was low. So most of what they earned that day went to the immediate needs of that day, such as getting food for the evening meal and a few other things that maybe they needed to survive. They had little to save. So they had basically nothing left for tomorrow, and they needed to look to God for a job and pay for the next day. They needed to look to God to provide a means or a way or their bread so that they may continue to live the next day. But because we Westerners, we have had until COVID steady jobs and usually get our main provision of food once a week from abundance, stores full of abundance, that doesn't mean we don't have to ask and rely on God to provide our daily bread. Quite the contrary. As James taught us, tomorrow, the week, is not promised to us. Not even today is promised to us. Nor is today or tomorrow determined by us. Our lives and our plans for each day are dependent upon God, and we must live trusting him one day at a time. Whether in times of trial like now, or in times of ease, God's schedule for providing for us is daily. The right response is to acknowledge the Lord. Go back to living the principle of daily trust and dependence on the Lord and submission of all we plan and do to him, both now, during COVID-19, and post-COVID. In that daily submission and trust, we will find rest for our minds and our souls, knowing that the Almighty God, who is the all-powerful, the all-wise and all-knowing one, he has our life and our tomorrows in his hands. And he is interested in you and I, the vaporous mists, because he created us and he loves us. But we have to come humbly, acknowledging that we are not God. We must refute, we must give up the sin that Adam and Eve was tempted to be like God. We cannot be. We are only created. And COVID-19 is hammering this home to us. In our difficulty and trials, let us not miss this lesson, this all-important lesson, this all-important call to come back to the Lord on a daily basis of in humility, trusting Him for each day, for our life, and for the events and things that we hope to plan and to do. Let us pray. Father, we thank You that You are God. We acknowledge that we are not God, and only You are God. COVID has ripped the illusion away from us. We are not masters or captains of our soul or fate. We are simply miss. But we rejoice in the fact we are miss, we are humans who are loved by You. And that we can come to You and trust You for tomorrow. Because I cannot control what will happen tomorrow. And many of these events that have occurred in the last month or months or days or weeks are way beyond our control. So we surrender to You and we take Your hand and we receive Your grace. Strengthen our souls and our minds. Give us peace in Your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us and is our captain, our shepherd of Your sheep. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.